February 18th, 2016. Let the meeting begin.
At 1801. We still
have. At 602.
Freedom Hall. All right, how's everybody? We all good? Mm-hmm. How's the water, Chris?
Beautiful. Dirty at times, though.
I thought so.
Lately. I think it might be a little bit of ice in the tanks. I don't know.
We got a big hole in the ground, too.
Do it?
Yep. There's a lot of concrete came out of there.
Okay. That's the pictures I sent.
It was good.
Everybody's mic on?
Mic on. Donald. Vic?
Yep.
You good?
We're good.
Okay.
Minutes.
Ready? Sure. I think the boys are reading those right now.
Okay. Do you have the other one? I believe you do.
I think I got it right there.
Okay.
Got it right there?
That's the one.
Okay.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as they are written.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There you go, Christopher.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. Warrants.
Doesn't have a figure on it.
Yeah,
it's going to be for the March billing.
Yeah, be for the.
Have to have a check available then.
Man, I like this pen. It's got a new pen.
Gel pen. That's the recycled bottle
don't
pen.
Don't touch it, Chris.
Is that a recycled bottle pen?
Man, it's got this little soft squish thing.
They just
here.
Came out with some new ones that are made from recycled water bottles. Not that you should be drinking out of water bottles.
Drinking out of water bottles, Chris. That one, Chris. Oh, Vic's got this one.
I got one.
Oh.
No, I didn't get that.
Where is Lou Jeans? Is that right on the drag there? On the
right 28.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's our local printer.
Yeah.
They do a great job. They come over, pick it up, drop it off.
Good boys.
Yep.
You know that planter out front?
That's been taken down.
It's been hitting a number of times. I've been there for people to hit that thing.
Yeah. They actually, the last guy that went through there and took out the telephone pole and dropped the pot down, My guys were two, three cars behind it, and they were standing there talking to the guy. They had to go down and give a statement down at the police station on him. They did drop a little bit of oil out of that pot right there, yeah. There's a... it was cited with DEP.
This is a Cape Cod winter.
This is a great one. Yeah.
Yep. This is a
There's Cape green Cod. Stuff in the golf course.
This is a Cape Cod winter right here.
Yep.
No fishing.
There's been a little bit of fishing, not much. Caught some trout, but not bass fishing. Keep but it's coming fast now.
You're not walking on any ice.
No. No, it's a scaredy cat. No ice, but...
I haven't walked on the ice in a long time.
I haven't gone on the ice since we fished somebody out. Stand to a pond. That was a bad day.
It is a bad day when that happens.
You guys are lucky to be alive.
People weren't.
No. And the guy wanted to go back and get his stuff. I said, what are you, crazy, bro? Get in your truck. No clothes on. Get in your truck. Warm up.
Last winter, the guy fell on three times over here in the harbor trying to get his dog.
Yeah,
three times.
Down at Oyster Shack, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go back in, I wouldn't mind.
I think I saw you on TV.
Yeah. Were you on TV? If you're on TV, you call me. Let me know. Post it first, though, would you, if you're going to call me? All right, Chris, how do we do? We all spell our name right?
Ooh, hold on.
Yeah, everybody's...
Uh-oh, one more there. Don Slacken.
Oh, this is the one that...
There's no figure.
February 2nd.
Yeah, that's the one for the minimum bills that are going to be going out.
Okay.
We don't know if it, with the... Right. They let us know how much we have to give to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on in.
Oh, no, this is the one that's already been signed.
Yes, I was wondering why.
Because you weren't there. Because you didn't sign it, she gave you a copy of that.
Okay.
How you doing tonight, Mike?
Good to
see you. All right.
I'm going to be bringing the local guy, too, because he's
a local guy?
Yeah, Joe Perry.
Okay. Sounds good.
Guitarist?
Well, good luck. All right. Superintendent's report.
Sure. Superintendent's report for January 2016. We pumped in January of 2015 7,638,000. January of 2016 8,243,000, for an increase of 605,000 gallons. We had a pretty warm January.
Yeah.
It seems to be right along. We've been increasing anyways lately, as of late. With all the houses that are going on over there in Kituit Meadows. We had no services put in and no replacement services done. We had a pretty quiet January as of replacement services or leaks. Yesterday, it's kind of a little early to be telling you, probably should do this in the... February meeting, but I just got excited. We got okayed on our hazardous mitigation grant from MEMA.
What?
So we're going to be doing a 25% payment instead of 100% for putting in the generator. We've been carrying that money. Finally got the okay to do it. And I just have a couple things I have to work out with Mike, a 10 W-9 form.
Yep.
And electronic transfer form, because it's a reimbursement. So we might have to work out something. I have to check with Mike on it because it's a little more than we have. Whether we have to ask for the money or not, I'm not sure. Then reimburse it where it's actually just a flipping of money, basically. Yeah. So I just don't know if we can spend it without asking for it first.
Okay. Nice work, Chris.
Okay. Thank you. That was a guy by the name of Sam Bell, who used to work for the Hazardous Mitigation Program through GZA.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good for you. Nice job.
Thank you. Chlorine addition safety permit. I showed you that before. Not a happy thought or anything like that, but they're looking for a response from me. I'm supposed to respond within 30 days, which will be Saturday. A couple of the things they noted we already do, or one of the things, but we have to just give them a saying that, you know, we can't meet any of this requirement for the amount of money it's going to cost us. We're going to have to, it's going to have to at least wait till after district meeting. It's going to have to wait at least another 9 months after that between bidding and stuff like that. If we have to do it, it's going to cost some money, and we have to do it if we're going to stay there. You know, the chance of taking it off at this point, I think, is just too dangerous.
Is that going to change the, I mean, taking it off, you know, is that going to change anything in terms of
no.
what they want to do?
It's not going to change the new total coliform rule, because all the new total coliform rules, it's going to have the same standards and everything else. It's just going to have a different reporting. We're not going to have to do public notification anymore. It's going to be notifying DEP where instead of notifying, they would still require this, in other words, through it.
So all the work they want us to do that you told us about last month, would they allow that to be phased in over time, or does that have to be done all?
That's something
process?
We have to request to them with this response and see their response back to us.
I mean, if you phase it in with the highest priority first, and then
yeah,
you know.
It's going to be the safety measures.
Yeah.
It's going to be what they want to see, and it's going to be station by station by station. You're not going to be able to do it all at once. Okay. It's going to be containment. It's going to have to be put in a tank there instead of what we have, and having somebody come down and deliver it instead of us going to pick it up like we have been.
Yeah. Is it liquid?
Yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't go chlorine gas.
How much, what's the volume of liquid you get at one time?
Probably have, I'd say, 50-gallon tanks maybe, or something like that. The only difference would be that in the ones that we have now were supposed to be for emergency only, and they're a kind of pump that is like a diaphragm pump, has to squirt so much at a time to come in out. Because we have them so low, they're hard to keep running because they gas up. Chlorine naturally gases up, it locks up the pump, and we go in there and it's not running. So then we have to bleed it, go back and do it again. They're a constant work just to keep them going. Whereas these others that we can get at this point, they're a little more expensive pumps, but it's a the name of it is not with me right now, but it basically squeezes the tube.
That's
and pushes
going.
Just a tiny, trying to think of the name, but
we have these yellow ones.
Yes, we have LMIs right now.
Yeah.
Instead of the, I want to say pneumatic, but I'm not sure what it is, but it squirts, and then we can keep it down a lot lower than we are. I mean, we have it down as low as our pumps will let us right now, to try to keep a 0.2 residual, which should be good. You can keep it down to a 0.1 to a half a point with these others. You can go lower and lower, and they're not going to gas up, is at least what I've been told.
Mm-hmm. What kind of
hydrostatic. Hydrostatic pumps, that's it. Thank you.
What kind of tubing do they use in
the? Just a PVC tube, and you have to change it once a year because it does get hard.
It's brittle.
Yeah, brittle. Yeah, and starts to crack and stuff like that. So there still would be maintenance on the pumps like we do now.
Yeah.
We rebuild the ones we have now. Probably once a year.
Impellers, you know, rebuild the impellers.
Yeah, you know, the checks get hard, or
right.
the different.
They're the same pumps that we go to get our. If you go to that class, just fall asleep there.
Yes.
We've done it 15 times to keep 5 hours.
Yep.
I got it.
Yeah. So I mean, this is also put into there is buying new pumps at the same time. And hopefully that would bring down any kind of the smell complaints that you have out there.
Yeah.
and stuff where it's not going to let you in. It's going to have the safety measures where if one of the guys is testing it and leaves it running, it's going to shut it off. Okay. You know, whereas now it would keep running and go off into the tank and mix in with the tank. It wouldn't be anything that's going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
But because we don't have that much actually, we don't carry that much that would hurt somebody actually. But it would stop a lot of that from happening. Mm-hmm. So I have to get this letter out hopefully tomorrow. And we'll have a better response from them. Then it's their turn to get back to me. But it doesn't look great. Put it that way. I mean, it looks like we're going to have to spend the money. If it's the case that we have to do it sooner than later, I'll let you know by next month.
Are we the only ones that's doing it? I wonder if...
I believe Barnstable has it now. I'd have to tell you.
Tom Rooney?
Tom, yeah. If you could ask Tom if he's doing it. If not, as soon as he gets his sanitary survey, he's going to have to.
So, I'll ask Rooney. I know that Mahoney is, I know that they're over in Sandwich.
They're treating right now?
But I don't know.
Do you know if they have all the...
I don't know.
Ask him, too. I mean, I don't want to pull anybody's name into DEP.
No, they don't have to
write
it
down.
I want to find out what they did.
Just a comparative,
So they may have done it, too, like they could have phased it in. They might have had, done it differently, So
right.
We can at least get an idea.
This whole thing that I said with Station 1, 2 at the time,
yeah.
I think I might try to roll this in at the same time if we do something instead of tearing one apart, doing it, and then going and doing another one. Mm-hmm. Although there is a couple things that I need to do anyways at 2. I want to get, this is where we wanted to clean out a tank, raise this pump up, and bring it up to size.
Okay.
So I'm surprised they want containment for as little as 50 gallons.
They want me to put containment underneath the 15-gallon jugs that I have now.
Yeah.
I have little barrels underneath.
Yeah.
I pick them up. We put them down in a barrel so that it's bleach, too. I know.
Okay. I know what to say. I have to deal with it.
Preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
I believe there's a 2016 budget in here for you guys to look at and see if there's any questions on. It might even be under the agenda. Yeah, that's under new business here. And we can go back to it later, but just to let you know it's there if you have a minute.
We'll do it at the end.
Okay. And the other thing that I have on here is... our solar has gone out. We've been getting requests on it. I think we have like a half a dozen or so legitimate people calling asking about the process. Maybe it's under 10, I believe, now. And I think the one came in yesterday while I was talking to Jen with some questions. She forwarded them on to Andrew over at Greenfield. I did talk to him. We do have... a briefing session scheduled here at 4 p.m. on Friday the 24th for any questions from anybody from the solar project.
Friday 24th?
At 4 p.m. That was in the paperwork that went out.
Okay. So it's just a construction meeting or freaking
informational meeting basically. If they have any questions, Andrew said he'll be here. He's planning on attending. He can answer any questions that come up because I told him I certainly won't be able to. I'll need him to do it.
Yeah.
So he's planning on being here then. After that, we have to figure out what we're gonna do. With the requests that we get and everything.
Okay. We can do that.
Other than that, I have nothing else tonight. If I think of anything, I'll bring it up as we go.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
No problem.
Old business. Russell, go ahead.
24th.
Friday. 2/24. That's Friday, right?
Is it that Wednesday?
Not a Friday.
Why did I think it was a Friday?
Friday seems to be odd at that time, correct?
Yeah, maybe it is Wednesday the 24th, then. I'm sorry. And I was thinking it was a Friday. I think you're right. Thank you for correcting me, Mr. Big Box.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
He is the big
I said corrected.
We'd have figured it out by Wednesday, though, Chris.
Sorry about that, guys.
We'd have got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll buy you a
Bill
us, double cheeseburger.
Can you send that to the, no. In a, okay.
We'll buy you some free radicals.
That'll be an amendment to the contract. I need three copies of that, but.
All right, Russell. Oh, nice, Russell.
I was up there the next morning. It's 6
o'clock. How can you staple it on the right side?
It's the way that the composition does it. Because some are landscape, some are portrait. So.
It was pretty exciting.
It was neat watching that come down. So those are some pictures of the you know, the site demolition, a couple of the action shots during when they were taking the tank down. And then one of the big holes that's in the ground out there now. So that they're making very good progress with the tank. Next week they'll be setting forms and placing rebar, getting ready to pour the foundation. And then they're still on target to start building the tank, hopefully in early April, start building that and getting up. So it's going to be moving now that it's gone.
And the weather's cooperating.
The weather's cooperating, and time is money with these guys, so they're going to keep it pushing right along. So it's good. A couple, you know, like any construction, we have a few small things that we're ironing out, but there's no red flags at this point, nothing that's going to be a change order or a delay in construction or anything like that.
There was actually someone that thought that something was being built there instead of being torn down.
House was gone?
No. It's what are they doing? They're building another tower over there?
Seeing into the future.
Yeah.
Visionary.
It was sneaky. Sneaky. We took a tank down.
The as far as everything else, I know the USDA, we're just working on some administrative things. USDA got back to us with a few comments, so the fact that they're looking at that and reviewing that is keeps me fairly hopeful that will move forward. So we're working through it. We'll get to the bottom of it one way or another. So we'll keep pressing on with that. Fiber optic, I know Steve Johnson's been out and about, but I believe he is getting that agreement reviewed by his legal advisors. So that too is going to be still progressing forward. He's been more proactive, obviously, than the past administration.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a good, he seems to be a good fit there. Everything's going as planned. Okay. Nothing really out of whack. Any questions?
No.
It was very exciting, though. I got pictures. I was up the next morning.
Taking it down?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Those guys or something.
How they're walking on the beams up there and cutting it and torching it. I got a ton of pictures. Well, at the end of the project, we'll submit a bunch of construction photographs, and there's some good ones to put on the wall there. It was neat watching them take that down.
Some crazy people.
They're a different. Yeah, they're a different breed. You'll see that breed again once the painters come.
Yeah.
They're select people too. So.
All right, did good, Russ.
Good.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Russ.
Yeah, glad it's on the ground and moving.
We're going. Do you want me to stick around for the
something? Yeah, just for a minute. Also wanted to give you a cellular RFP proposal. That's what I gave you guys a look at earlier. Russ gave me this roughly a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been going around to different departments and different engineering companies to see if anybody really specializes in this or anything. In my opinion, you see kind of what's going on there is to get the stuff basically the one built behind and at least that organizing, get the others over onto.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be beneficial to keep it with the project, with the same company going here forward. I did give him a RFP from Com that was written, which they got from Dennis. I talked to both Dave and Craig. one, back and forth, and Russ has took, I've given him a copy of it. We have it down on not to exceed on there also.
$10,500.
Yeah. And Russ has gracefully said to me, that don't worry, if you don't have to go that far, we won't. We just want to, we've never done it, we want to make sure. You can see in the back, it's different pricing there for the people, which is basically hang out.
I believe so. Yep, it is. If we can move forward with that tonight, then it'll be my goal by next month to have the draft in your hands. Sometime between now, maybe next week or something, Chris, I'll sit down with an early draft with you. And then we'll want to sit down with Mike Ford and go over that. There's going to be some questions on how you want to set up the proposal. What do you want to see for how many years? Is it one initial 5 year, a 5 year plus five additional? And maybe even five additional beyond that. I've seen some of these RFPs go out for a total of 10 years. Some have a total of 15 years. It doesn't make a difference, really, to me. It's just how we want to structure it and how we want it to go out.
So with our counsel, you said Mike Ford.
Mike Daly, I'm sorry.
Oh, you want to talk to Mike Daly?
Yeah, to see it from the financial side. And then ultimately, Mark will have to review it, too.
Okay.
So there's I've pulled a bunch of different references, and now we'll reach out to the actual companies that build that and get their feedback and see what their takes are on this. One of the things we'll have to think about is what we want to put in. I've seen most of these RFPs they require a base monthly land lease, whether it's $3,000 a month, $4,000. I think Comms was $3,600 a month that they're requiring for 10 years, a minimum of $36,000. And they put that out as, you know, we can put any price in there. It just depends. Or we can put no price and see what people come back as. And make a selection from there. So there'll be those types of questions. I have to include the discussion about the availability of fiber optic. I'll talk to Steve Johnson about that because that might make it more attractive to the companies,
right,
the carriers to have those.
He wants to go right by this thing.
We're already right by it on Main Street.
Yeah.
It's already there.
Right, so that's a plus just to have it that close.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we go by, it's going to be our closest when we go by. I don't know.
Do you feel like we can step this thing back a little bit from the road, Chris?
I would
like to get the land there that goes back to the Osprey nest there.
Right. I would really prefer not to keep it so close on the same footprint. Just there's a point there where Town of Barnesville comes in at an angle behind the tank. I'd like to move it to the other side of that angle,
yeah,
into the woods a little bit, just so it's not so close to houses there.
Right. You can put a drive in there through where the tank
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Something like that. You can use that same road if you wanted to go in and around.
And that should get him close enough to where he wants to connect on the road with fiber optic.
It should. I mean, they can run it. There's the old fire trail that runs through there, and then the access to the tank. So given that, and then how far they can go away and still maintain their connections, the different carriers may have different restrictions on that. Again, that's for the company that comes and builds it. The other item I was thinking about putting in the proposal, I wanted to ask you tonight, is to put an optional item in there to have them evaluate the other two tank sites and see if there's any opportunity there. You're not signing into it, but you're just seeing what your options are. So one guy may come in and say, we can only give you $20,000 or $2,000 a month for the tower itself, but on the Santua tank, we'd like to do this and give you this much.
Right, right.
Because we have the provisions built in. For
on the tank. I like that. It's a good idea.
And we already have an RFP also look from the other. When we put out that tank.
The tank, right. Yes.
So I don't know. That would be something to put out for
the
We're
going to review it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. There's no reason not to.
Just see what your options are. And then you can obviously.
Add another. Somebody else, maybe one or two onto those tanks. And
yeah.
Could make everybody have a smile.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
All right, Russ.
Yeah, we can talk about this later if you want. Or
yeah.
You could ask me to bring a hard copy. You've got that with you.
Just those. I'm sorry, I did. Just the ones I made. I'm sorry, I didn't. Just the ones I emailed you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to bring up okay.
No, I apologize.
Okay. There is a signature page on there.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I see it.
So I mean, we can always sign three from there if you have to.
I can take a copy.
Yeah.
A photocopy. And
okay.
Or if you just give me say yeah, they're going to sign. I don't mind starting. You know, and getting
no,
it done.
I did not call it.
Is it okay, we can review this story again rather than hanging out. We'll
sure.
move forward, and then at the end, and we'll contact you back, and we'll...
No problem.
I don't think we have an issue, but we certainly could go over this a little bit.
Yeah,
and then we'll
yeah no
but
problem.
I'm fine. I don't think there's any problem.
Good.
Russ, the $10,000 that we'll spend on this, you know, outside of some other small unseen things, our expenses on this is going to be basically nil.
Same deal as solar. You won't be paying for the tower or paying for. You just want to think about what.
The blue collar answer, you know, is I'm looking for.
No, you're not going to be paying for building a tank or pulling permits or getting building inspectors out there or anything like that.
That's whoever.
Yeah, they bear the cost of the construction and the planning and the design and the site plan review and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
You know, I just want to think about if we do open it up for additional options on the other tanks, just what's the risk versus reward? You know, how much are you getting back versus what are the maintenance issues with that?
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that Chris has said, and I do consider it, I think it's important, is that it takes a major headache away from him if we're not on tanks.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm all for that. So I mean, that's something that you're going to have to decide, Chris. You're bait. You know, if you want somebody coming into the tanks? Fine. If you don't want them coming into the tanks, fine.
With the standard we have now, too, it holds it a lot better. I mean, we didn't have that standard in place when we first put it out, and it's a mess up there. Main Street is just a mess up. You climb up there, but there's tripping hazards. And you know, there was old equipment on there that when they switched stuff out, they just left the old back bracket sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, until we got the standard together there and made them take this stuff down, made them, you know, you see something there, get rid of it, you know, move this out of the way. You know, don't have to step, when you're coming off a ladder to get on a tank, you don't have to step over it. You know, cables is why going across.
Right.
At least with the new tanks, most of this should be running the inside. There's conduits, 6-inch conduits going all the way up the inside of the tank.
Inside. It'll be a little better. It still gets to be a hassle to have somebody else besides you in there.
Yeah,
right. I understand. But I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with getting selfish and saying no.
And I start to get on a legal point of who's responsible once they're in there.
Right.
You know, if they're climbing up there or if they're
someone takes a tumble.
On the inside of the tank,
to get
the back insurance all of a sudden, are we responsible for them? That's something I'd have to check in with.
You shouldn't be. That should be standard in their lease agreement. If it's not there, it should be there.
Right.
You know, if anyone outside entity comes there, they have to have the proper OSHA training and all that sort of stuff.
All right, Russ, this is good. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, you did good.
All right.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, Russ.
Okay.
Thank you, Russ.
Don. Did you get the pepperoni pizza for $6.45 tonight?
Yes.
Did you order the pepperoni pizza, Dodd?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I know that Amy's hungry for sure. Well, that was good. Very good. How you feeling, Mike?
Awesome.
Come on up.
Were you waiting for somebody, or?
You want to bring a chair? You want to bring a chair? You can slide one of those chairs up here like rusted if you want to.
It is being recorded.
Mike, Ted Barnacle.
Just to let you know.
Don Campbell.
Nick Mastro.
How you doing, Chris? Liza. Talking to the phone.
Yes, sir. So I'd be remiss if I didn't travel all this way to give you guys some presents. It's a there's a couple of calendars that never expire. Even has
nice.
These here. Also, here's just kind of like a little brief packet of has the application for the cost share program. It has some of your local contacts and a few other things that looking at. I don't often get down here, but there's definitely a lot of similarities with some of the other towns that we've worked with. We've worked with a number of water departments over the years with our stewardship program. So really, really, simpatico what you guys are trying to do
and what was done in the past with other water departments. So it'll be great to see you guys approach it in your own Cape Cod unique way down here. So it'll be fun to see.
Yeah. Let's come to the annual meeting.
Yeah. So what we have to offer at the state with the Forest Stewardship Program is kind of a soup to nuts program where we have a foundation piece that we call the Forest Stewardship Plan, which provides the foundation piece. This is young Mr. Perry.
Step on up, Mr. Perry. Grab a seat there. How are you?
Good, yourself?
Good to see you tonight. How are we doing out there?
Pretty good.
Yeah, warming up?
No. But I like to go. Where's your Johnny?
Right up around the corner.
Go right
upstairs.
Through that. Men's restroom. And up the stairs over right there. Be careful.
Don't fall.
All right. Don't try to turn around that bathroom. Just straight on the back out.
So the stewardship program has been around since the 1990s. It was developed by the U.S. Forest Service as kind of an alternative plan to landowners that typically were served with this forest management plan, which was, in a lot of cases, timber-centric. And as forestry has matured here in the United States, Joe, myself, we work primarily with private landowners and municipalities. And I think we were all discovering right around the late 80s, early 90s, that that kind of timber-centric plan really wasn't addressing a lot of the desires of a landowner. You know, they were interested in wildlife, and they were interested in recreation and other things that weren't specific to, say, the timber resource. And that was born, the Forest Stewardship Program was born out of that demand by the landowner base here in the, not just here in the Commonwealth, but across the country, that says, listen, we're looking for something that addresses our needs, not just about how fast the trees grow and how many forest feet are in it. And so, from 1990 to where we are today, we've matured the program quite a bit. We've worked with, like I said, a number of municipalities and water departments. Most recently, Holyoke Water Department, West Springfield. Last couple of years, just going back just a couple of years, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Turner Falls Water Department, which I think would be, if I was going to kind of equate the forest type that they have there on the Montague Sand Plains, which is pitch pine, scrub oak, very similar to what you all have here on Cape Cod, and what they're doing in Turner's Falls on that water department land, I could imagine would be a wonderful, opportunity to, maybe take a road trip out to Turner's Falls or talk to them and see, because they're doing things not just to restore that declining pitch pine habitat, which is on kind of probably our top five list, I think, of big issues here in Massachusetts with regards to that habitat and maintaining that habitat for all those endangered species that use that. And then also, Turner's Falls is also managing a large portion of their property for a variety of bird habitat, yeah. both game and non-game. So, and I think the one thing I appreciate about Turner's Falls Water Department is they were doing the bird thing before we started even getting into the bird thing. So that that's pretty exciting to see a municipality kind of, obviously they're working with an excellent forester out there that is bird focused. So that management out there has been doing really well in terms of restoring that habitat, providing some early successional habitat for some declining bird species in that part of Massachusetts. And so we're hopefully going to be rolling out our bird program, which is still kind of in its infancy. We rolled it out as a pilot project last year.
And we've teamed up with Mass Audubon. We've got a great relationship with them. And we're delivering right now the bird program, which is, it would be west of the Connecticut River. We're hoping to roll it out at the beginning of next fiscal year, statewide. And we're concentrating it on anywhere from between 12 and 15 bird species, depending on what part of the state you're in. You know, mostly declining neotropical type songbirds and some other ones that require early successional force to breed in and raise their young. So we're really excited about that. That program has seen a lot of interest in the pilot area in western Massachusetts, and we've seen a number of municipalities grab onto that. I think one, because we have a very visible partner in Mass Audubon that's helping us deliver the importance of this declining, you know, the declining habitat that these birds need. So it's helping us deliver our message to landowners and municipalities about these declining habitats. So I think when that rolls statewide, we're looking to be very busy folk here in the near future. So that bird habitat program is very, I guess, simpatico or symbiotic with the stewardship plan. It's actually written in a way that there's a bird assessment done, just like a forester does an assessment of the forest and provides an overall diagnosis and health of the current conditions along with the other components of the stewardship plan. The bird assessment does the same thing. And it's written in a way so it's you know, it folds in there quite nicely. So when they're talking about coarse woody debris that's existing on a given forest area, you know, is that good or bad? Is there enough or there's not enough for certain species? So I think, you know, from our point of view, we're pretty excited and you know, we can't take too much credit. The folks up in Vermont many years ago, about 7 or 8 years ago, if my memory serves me, started this program with a grant from Toyota, if I'm not mistaken. So hats off to the folks up in Vermont. I think it's we're always looking for creative ways to connect landowners and municipalities with their forest in unique ways that maybe gets them energized in town and thinking about their forest as not a museum piece, but a place that's dynamic and that there's always ongoing change, whether that be change from all the different insects that have been hammering down here and on the Cape.
Beans and pine trees, aren't they?
Holy moly. I don't know how you guys are handling it. When I drive down here...
You just cut them down.
Unbelievable.
Just cut them down.
The pine doors are going to be...
They've been crushing it,
though.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think...
The wind loss or whatever.
Yep.
One of those dead eating. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I think there's, you know, there's definitely... you know, I've never lived on Cape Cod. I'm kind of a Berkshire guy, this type of habitat's a little unique to me. However, you know, I know Joe's lived down here for many, many years, if not his whole life. And
we can some striped bass in there. You'll like it.
All right, there you go. That's always good.
Yeah. We'll get you in there.
So I think there's, you know, especially here, where there's so much pressure, not just obviously the development pressure that you guys feel, but I think the pressure from these insects and the defoliation and the mortality. I think in the olden days of kind of sitting back and watching trees die, I don't know if that's you know, just because of the fire risk and other things that go on with kind of that wait and see.
Well, is that part of the stewardship program, dealing with the exotics?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that, like, so that plan that we kind of I introduced, that's your foundation that we generally build other programs on top of. So, for instance, municipalities are in a unique situation. We do have a matching grant program. So once the plan has been written, things that have been recommended to meet your objectives out there for the water department, whether that be, you know, obviously top number one, we want to maintain the best water quality we can. And then what other objectives you might have on the property. It could be the invasive species issues. Maybe there's tree mortality from the recent defoliations.
Sure. We haven't noticed anything with our open space or our property. Nobody's done anything with it.
Yeah.
I go down to the Carolinas and they don't waste any time. They take care of business down there.
They clean
up their forests, they take care of their loblollies, they make it go and the deer go crazy and they take care of it.
I was amazed. I printed out that open space map this afternoon, and I was utterly impressed with the amount of open space that you all have here in town. And you know, I think it would be a wonderful opportunity for us to get to work with you and which in whatever capacity that you guys are comfortable with. We do have. Probably the most money I've seen in my forestry career. I haven't been around for 100 years, but I've been around for a while. I've never seen this much money put towards forestry, maybe back in the ASCS days, but there was a ton of money. But
more about access.
Yeah.
And that's coming from the state or from the federal level, or both?
This is all state money.
Okay.
This is pretty spectacular. In the olden days, it was all Fed money. It's about building roads and access. Get into a lot. Yeah. I think some of this can be tied into some of the fire folks like Dave Salino's group. You know, they have some. You know, they have grant opportunities to kind of help with this wildland.
Do you have somebody that comes in and gives us an evaluation of what we need to be doing and what your thought process is on, you know, where we need to clean it up, where we need to get the deadwood out of, where we need to, what species that are out there bush-wise that need to leave?
Yep. Sure.
And when we start working with the conservation people around here, everything needs to stay as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
So we I don't know, do we have, are we going to battle them in this process?
I think there's a balance as with anything.
You've always been a little ahead of the game. You've always helped out as much as you could if somebody approaches us. Well, in the past, it's always been, you know, it's not costing us anything. You know, we would approach us and they could put the rabies tag on.
Yeah.
Put your stations out. As a matter of fact, we just took the tank down over here. It's a small site, but they had one there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We have a guy that's trapping coyotes in monitor and put the collars on. We let him come in and put a trap out. He caught one in monitor. We followed around for 2 years with the guy, basically, you know, by communication. So I mean, we've always been pretty good. We do have a couple osprey nests on our land.
Oh, beautiful.
But it's because we didn't put them there. The Colonel Edison only wanted to say put them there because they were knocking out the power all the time.
Yep.
We do have them. Where you are right now, this is pretty nice in the guy's house.
Wow. Nice.
So, I mean, there's a lot of that stuff going on around even birds and stuff. So, you're talking anything to help as long as I don't think it would be a hot sell either on some stuff.
Step one is a forest inventory, is that right?
I would say, you know, we can do some things in parallel. So, for instance, you know, not knowing the financial situation here, clearly, you know, if you want some assistance from the state in developing a plan, that's a good first step. And then how I would run it in parallel is you fill out your application, speak with Joe. There is a list of contacts there of different consulting foresters that I provided. Ideally, you know, we want somebody that you can work with that listens to your needs. That's appropriately priced for what you're looking for, has the appropriate, understanding of working with the municipality, because working with the municipality is not the same as working with a private landowner. There's a dramatic amount of buy-in needed from that consulting forester. So they're obviously, there might be some meetings or a walk necessary in order to show off this great work that you guys are thinking about with the stewardship plans, showing off to the community, and explaining what the stewardship plan is and what the content means, what do these fancy words mean. And, you know, I think the, obviously, you know, if you do go down the bird habitat assessment path as well, you'll have Mass Audubon at the table to provide, you know, the relevant science as well as the forestry science behind what your document is speaking to. So I would always encourage, you know, communication with your local forester. You know, Joe covers this area, just like I cover an area in Worcester County. And, you know, my best day is when, you know, I get a call from a town or get a call from a landowner and say, hey, can you come out and meet with me and walk in my woods and answer some questions? I don't really know what's going on. I don't know what to do. That is one of the greatest gifts of this job that I have, is having that opportunity to meet folks and talk about their woods. So, and you can't beat Joe's price. What is it now? Is it only one cup of coffee, or is it free still?
Yeah.
Walk the woods? Yeah, it's our services are always free. So, and,
I have, I guess, a couple questions to catch up to speed on this, because I know Vic brought this forward when he came on, and Ted seems to be aboard, but I really haven't had any idea about what this was going to involve, and this was going to be the first time I was going to hear anything about this. So I have a number of questions just so I understand it, because anyone else is going to hear it for the first time, hopefully they would have questions too.
Of course.
Are we talking about trying to maintain indigenous trees and scrub stuff here that's been here forever, or trying to bring stuff back from the past that has historically been here, or do we want to change things to, for whatever reason? That's
a great question. And, you know, I grew up in forestry is that you work with what you have, okay, and you try to improve upon that. You know, obviously, depending, you know, I don't know really anything about your forest at all. I'm imagining it's what, probably dominated by pitch pine, white pine, mm-hmm, some oaks, probably.
Some light.
You know, so you're probably looking at a fire dependent community, or,
yes,
you know, mostly. So, you know, so for instance, we've done an excellent job of keeping fire out of these forests, mm-hmm, for a very long time. I think the last major fire out here, from Dave Salino was telling me, was 64. It was like a 30, whatever, 30, 40.
The fire tower was out of business, didn't we?
You know, quite a bit of acres, if I'm not mistaken. I you know, I was not born
57,
yet.
57 was the big one.
Yeah. Came right across.
Yeah, that's when I went across Route 3.
Yeah.
So they were confiscating, you know, tankers and everything back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's really up to us to decide what we want to manage for, right? I mean, beyond water, because that's our primary.
I mean, that's, we as a state foresters, we encourage you to, you know, have the conversation between yourselves with your forester, even ask us. But, you know, really, it's truly every town, every landowner is different. Everyone has different objectives. I think, you know, you don't have to go travel very far by boat to go over to Martha's Vineyard and see, you know, all the best intentions of trying to plant trees.
The Manny Corliss Forest is all rotted gone.
You know, trying to plant trees
and
trying to do, you know, and again, you know, foresters make mistakes, you know, and I think they're, you know, that was done with all the best intentions that somehow they were going to plant trees and they're going to be grow up to be nice and big, and we're going to have a nice wood products industry on the island.
Well, they thought right time to grow as well as it did out of Michigan and that neck of the woods.
I actually worked out there in the 80s when they were cutting down, trying to thin out that stuff, hoping to save it, and worked on a mill out there.
Yeah.
I know exactly what it was like.
So, you know, I think, you know, we've...
Pardon me? Early 80s.
Okay, I've had a... Since 84.
This guy had a portable mill. out there. And
on the vineyard?
On the vineyard, oh, yeah.
And then Tucker?
No, just the vineyard, yeah. The vineyard. That's where I lived, yeah.
There was actually one guy with a mill on the island.
Yeah. We cut anything from 6x6s down to 2x4s.
System 6?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think plantations, you know, across the Commonwealth, all the wonderful work that the CCC folks did, my grandfather did, and, you know, all the great planting, it's, you know, the plantations are not a natural forest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a garden. You plant tomatoes and you just kind of let Mother Nature manage them. You're going to end up with kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And plantations are tree plantations are the same way. As you mentioned, traveling down south, those are all those loblolly pines. That's intensively managed. We planted it and got all that quote unquote wasteland back into a situation where it wasn't eroding. You were building soil through that process of planting the trees. However, we were remiss. We forgot about those trees, and we woke up one day, I think in the 70s, saying, oh man, what are we going to do with all this 50-year-old plantations? And they're overstocked, and we're starting to see decline because of the tight spacing and so forth. So it well-intentioned, however, it's like anything, is if you plant it, you got to take care of it. As opposed to where, you know, what we mostly see on private lands, as well as municipal lands, is we see a natural forest that has seen natural disturbance or man-made disturbance, and it's regenerated. I take the approach, how I was brought into the profession, was to kind of take the Aldo Leopold approach, which is you want a forest that has the ability to self-renew, whether that be through natural disturbance or through human intervention disturbance. So what that basically means is, you don't want to have a situation where the forest is either has a high abundance of invasive species that where if a disturbance does come through, all you're doing is growing more bittersweet or honeysuckle or what have you, or kudzu in some parts of the Cape. That's how we look at it. We look at a healthy forest in terms of human terms, not necessarily, the forest doesn't know what health or mm-hmm. bad health is. Health is what we put on it. Mm-hmm. Health is, does the forest look healthy to us for our purposes, whether that purpose is for water quality, wildlife, what have you. The forest doesn't know if it's healthy or not. Right? And that's my biggest, that's my soapbox that I could talk for days on, is because I hear this forest health term thrown around. We're doing it for forest health. Well, you're not. The forest doesn't know what health is. You're doing it for human
health
needs, and maintaining, the health for the productivity for what humans need the forest for. You're not doing it to make the forest healthy. So I'll get off that soapbox.
Get back to San Antonio Almanac.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's I think, great approach. I think that, we always are looking for a thoughtful approach to anything we do.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, by managing the forest that we have, we benefit from that in a number of different ways. Through water quality, through just the wildlife that maybe is not here, that used to be here,
yep.
or can be introduced.
So, you hit, I think
is
you hit
that
the, well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I don't think it needs much more clarification than that. You're going to, and managing the forest doesn't necessarily mean that it involves a chainsaw, and it may be something as simple that you're, creating opportunities for recreation, if that's part of what your objectives are. Maybe there's some areas that would benefit, because they're in close proximity of housing and so forth. Maybe there's some work that can be done that would lessen the fire danger. You know, so if unforeseen thing does happen where a fire does get started, that you're not putting people's, you know, houses in jeopardy and so forth. So creating a forest that's resilient, not just, you know, resilient to, you know, wildland fire, but also for all these unknowns that are kind of coming through Massachusetts right now, whether that be southern pine beetle and, you know, the defoliators and so forth. So.
Did you guys work with the state on 151 cranes?
Not me.
Not you.
Joe, actually.
They got crazy over there.
There's a guy. How long ago?
Some trees, brother. For the turtle and the sparrow.
Oh, no, that was with the eastern cottontail.
That was the cottontail.
That's, yeah.
That's not what the sign says, but the first one they did out there.
And then there's a little
sparrow.
The sparrow's the other one, yeah. And they're doing that on the base, too.
There's a couple places for them. Right, yeah.
Very small, very tasty, but you've got to have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Fishing game.
There's a lot
of it. Yeah.
And then the,
Nice for us hunting over there. It's nice and wide open now.
It's too wide open.
It is?
Yeah.
Like,
it's sprayed with skunk a couple of times.
You really have a gun. You're right.
I do. Right. It's like, where I could. So, work my dogs or something out there. So now it's just like, feel like I'm really in a field trial zone. Like, go get them. The judge wants to see that dog run about 6 miles away from you.
Yeah, they made that primary to restore that when cotton.
Is that what that is, huh?
That's all that cotton you see going, they're leaving only a couple trees per acre. Trying to keep it wide open. Looking into doing some, to maintain it, some fire management. Burning to maintain it down once they get it cut down.
Yeah.
And they could do that for you.
They're going to talk to the coyotes and make sure that they know that we're working on restoring the coyotes out there. You see the coyotes out there?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Huge.
They walk behind the truck.
Right.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
100 yards behind the truck loading the pheasants out there.
Oh, yeah.
Put a box of pheasants out there and they'll eat those pheasants and they put them in and just turn around and follow the truck. It's like they're feeding. It's like cows. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I've seen some. There's been a bunch of specials on TV about the how well they've adapted.
They don't.
Trash cans.
The guy's putting the pheasants out for lunch.
Oh no.
Yeah. He's looking over his shoulder.
Right.
You know, Eddie Krause.
Yeah. I think there's some good examples of water departments across the Commonwealth.
Have balanced
what their water quality objectives are with, you know, doing some forestry. And again, intensity is purely up to the community. For instance, some of the towns that I've worked with, it's always been a light touch approach. Attending approach, and again, it's difficult without having that assessment, kind of where you are. In many cases, it may be tending for a very long time.
I are out there all the time. We enjoy the open space out there.
Absolutely. Turner Falls is a 3-hour.
We bumped into each other long.
I just looked up Turner. How far a road trip was for Turner Falls? It's a good 3 hours.
Yeah.
Fun. Do we pay for the forest inventory? No, you guys do that.
So
what do you do, a 10% cruise or something?
It depends on who you hire.
Okay.
So, for instance, we have a formula based upon how many acres in your application.
Okay.
So if you have over 36 acres, it's $910 plus $13 an acre over 36. So 75% of the time, to be completely honest with you, that cost share rate, that formula, pays 100% of the plan.
Okay.
There are certain circumstances where there's going to be some skin in the game for the town. And that's just depends on who you hire. That's to be completely honest.
And you have a list of approved foresters to hire. Chris would know better. I think we have around 530 acres or something. Is that right, Chris? What's our total acreage on the watershed?
The actual, the one that you usually walk down, that's about 200.
Nice.
230, I think it is, something close to that.
Perfect.
And total acreage we have is?
We have 200 plus there. We have 26 behind the over Station 5, I think it is. I think there's 21 behind the water fountain. There's like 3.5 over at 3.
Yeah.
And the biggest supply of turkeys is around 3.5 acres.
Good for you guys.
Right in the center of town, you could probably drive out and find out what you're doing.
Yeah. I can't hear these.
A lot of coyotes don't mess with those guys. Those are big boys, I'll tell you that right now.
They're big.
Damn.
Is there a deadline on this, or is it a rolling application?
It's rolling. So, you know, for instance, this fiscal year, we've transitioned from approving applications as they come in to we've established a waiting list now because the money ran out. We generally historically have been able to help 200 landowners, municipalities, a year. This year's a little bit of a different one. We had a fairly substantial budget reduction in the program. So we're up to about 82 landowners and municipalities we're helping this year.
So you look at that pie and you say we're going to cut it 80 ways or 200 ways? Or
We take it first come, first serve.
Okay.
So if you guys are, you send in your application today, fill it out, send it in. You know, you'd fill out an application for each parcel that you want to have a forest stewardship plan on. I would get it. I would call you up and say, hey, we're out of money. We got you on the waiting list. Do you want to be notified when next fiscal year starts? And so if when next fiscal year rolls around and they provide us the budget, hopefully, you guys will be one of the lucky few that I'll call and say, hey, you still interested in that money we talked about back in February? And hopefully you'll say yeah, and you'll get a nice little approval letter from me saying you've been approved for this much, and a deadline, which the deadline's pretty flexible. But if you get an early acceptance into the program for the cost share, we'd like to see those plans somewhere in January to February if possible. But like I said, we're very flexible with municipalities understanding the process that you guys, whatever that public process is necessary for you guys to go through. So sometimes we go all the way into June for deadlines.
Yeah, if you worked into a fiscal year, you wouldn't know if you
had that money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this a
50-50
match?
Basically, we have a formula based on your acreage. And, statewide, I don't know, I haven't broken it down specifically by county or region, but statewide, 75% of the time that cost share payment that based on the formula pays for 100% of the plan. There's 25% of the time that, unfortunately, the formula only gets you so far, and you probably have to put a little skin in the game. But, it depends. I think once you guys have a work, talking with Joe, have a work order, with the forester that the foresters that you're going to interview or talk with, I would encourage you to, not just include the plan, but maybe a couple of, maybe one night meeting and a walk or something that's involved in the actual, presenting it to the public if that's a necessary process. With some towns, it doesn't matter. The committee says we want a plan gets written. And there's no public process. Some communities, the stewardship plan is a very open and engaged public process. Mm-hmm. So figure out where you guys fit into that scope. sometimes.
It's yeah. So the application goes in before the plan.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is the application.
That's the most important piece of paper. Yeah, right there. So so get your application in. You know, like I said, you can get it in now, or you can talk about it for as long as you need. And like I said, if the budget is similar to this fiscal year, I would imagine we'll have a limited budget, but we'll still be able to help. You know, hopefully about 80 or 100 people. So
another thing that I heard you talk about was the fire safety part of this. I work for a fire department. We talk about urban wildland interface all the time.
Sure.
And that kind of, we had fires in Sandwich where I worked. That we were there all weekend and coming back over and over and over and over again.
Yep.
So part of this evaluation for not only for water quality and for wildlife and that stuff is a selling point for the public.
Yeah, I think, you know, to be honest with you, Joe can talk about it, but you know, I know our biggest hurdle is, you know, how good of a salesperson we are, and how can I sell this program or sell this, you know, these concepts to somebody that inherently just wants to walk their dog out in the woods.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing this for the first time, and I want to find ways to sell it.
Sure.
So
sure.
I'm trying to get as much as you out of this as I can. Sure. I got a feeling that Ted and Vic have more of a history with this as a thought process than I do.
Yeah.
I think in some ways, Don, I mean, I didn't know anything about what you were going to bring. In my head, I look at more the sportsman and outdoorsman.
Yeah.
I've heard about these. I understand what this is, and I pay attention to it. And where I go hunt all over the country, whether it's Wyoming or Colorado or North Carolina, where it is, they all have different programs to take care of their forests. And it's a pleasure sometimes to be able to go to Wyoming and hunt some places that have been taken care of by and been handled correctly. And it's really nice. It's really nice, and the ours could be the same way.
Well, I'd actually like to do a 3-hour ride to go look to see what.
Yeah, Turner's Falls.
Yeah. Just because
we can fish up there when we get there.
Mm-hmm. Can we golf?
Yeah, we can do that too.
Yeah, I don't know. There's definitely some other water departments that can get you information on. Northampton's another one. Again, I think, you know, the reason why I brought Turner's Falls into it, obviously, is because of the habitat that they have is
similar.
It's very similar to my understanding of what you all have down here. And you know, and they have used a variety of methods. They've worked real closely with the grouse society folks. So
they were great to have.
There's some great opportunities, definitely. I think how I would wrap this up in a nice little bow is that you're clearly in a situation where water quality it trumps everything that goes on the property.
Absolutely.
And forestry historically has been used as a wonderful tool to help maintain high water quality standards, because obviously. You can look at the Quabbin Reservoir, you can look at other public water supplies across the Commonwealth, and the biggest threat that we face here in Massachusetts is, due to the past land use history across the Commonwealth, is we have a forest that is relatively the same age, which is wonderful because there's a lot of beautiful big trees, and everybody likes to walk in the woods, and I am a huge advocate of that. However, next disturbance, we're going to have a situation where, you're going to be starting over. And the concept of that in a watershed, a large-scale disturbance, trees blown down, or whatever the case may be, you have a situation where exposed soils, the forest can only regenerate so quickly, and you know, obviously, I'm not a water quality person, but I know turbidity is pretty important thing not to have in your water. So I think having a forest that can withstand whatever the future climate is going to be throwing at it, future insects, having a diverse age class. Yeah. Yeah, it's all that bear hoof. So I think having a diverse forest that's able to self-renew itself is only a benefit to not just water quality, but it's also a benefit to species that, you know, don't just like big trees, but also like to breed in early successional areas. And Massachusetts is a huge place for that. That's where a lot of these birds travel all that distance up from the Caribbean and Mexico.
Yeah. We're getting passed by. There are plenty of migrating birds anymore. We don't have any migrating ducks. We've got fishes.
So, I mean, I would sell it, you know, kind of as it's a water quality first and foremost. And I think the other aspects are clear. I would advocate that, you know, in a fire-dependent community, making sure that, you know, private property is you know, best protected if something happens. And, you know, obviously, as we year after year restrict fire in a fire-dependent community, usually that fire behavior becomes erratic and can be dangerous at times to people and property.
And the communities around there, particularly some of their town properties, and they're actually creating fire breaks between the town property and the houses. And they'll go right behind them and slow the houses. So go in and they'll just clear cut that section and create a nice fire break. So pretty conscious of that. I mean, fire was, as you said, fire was like one of the key issues.
Do you have any more questions? No, just been interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks for coming out. We'll review this and then Don.
Let me give you a couple numbers if you want to.
Yeah.
Give me a call. Joe Perry is the name. And cell phone's 508-887-6009. And my email is joe.perry@state.ma.us.
State.ma.us,
not USA, US.
Okay.
And Mike's is.
Yeah.
I got your card in this, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can take it. All right.
And we, you know, just a really quick side note, we did do a great matching grant program with a community, the city of Marlboro, for a prescribed burn that they performed on their property. It's not water department land, but conservation commission land, and they had a pitch pine community there that they were trying to restore. So we helped them with the burn plan and a few other particulars with getting that project off the ground. And again, I would suggest you get some great fire resources down here. You know, Dave Salino with DCR is excellent. Paul Gregory is, a state lands forester, great fire brain. And then obviously there's some foresters on the list that actually have a background in fire ecology. That would be a great first person to call, first number to call.
Have you got any requests? Matching to establish a biocontrol program for Wintermoth or Cyrex or any of the other exotics?
All I can tell you, I'm not I'm friendly with Ken Gooch, the DCR Forest Health Coordinator, and I know that they are actively releasing things. I don't want to make a mistake and speak incorrectly, so I think Ken would probably be much better to speak on that, but I know there's releases that are going on for a variety of pathogens, and I know that his big job coming up shortly is going to be doing those aerial surveys to kind of get the defoliation map squared away. So he'll be up in a plane here shortly when bud break occurs. So
we can replace him with a drone.
I was with Ken at a meeting last week with the U.S. Forest Service, and having just a personal conversation, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty active defoliating year again. From what
good
what
guy.
I,
understand.
Who took over for Bob Childs?
I don't know.
Who's the extension?
I don't know. I know there's a new one, but I don't know. No, we'd love to love to work with you and help you with whatever we can. Please take advantage of the money and having a great resource like Joe and connecting with a professional forester, I think is a great first steps. And you know, I always appreciate coming down here because I don't very often.
Well, you'll have to come down.
Where in Berkshire do you live?
I used to live in Peru, Mass, which is kind of northeastern Berkshire County, a town of about 600 people. So yeah, it's a little. But now I'm in the big city. We moved east, so I'm in the booming metropolis of Natick. So,
Natick, Mass.
Yeah, Natick, Mass.
You're killing yourself.
It's funny.
What are you doing in Natick, bro?
I know. Forestry's been pretty good. But it seems weird. I went from
you escaped every day.
Yeah, I went from a.
I thought you were gonna say like I moved to like Great Barrington. No, I'm not town.
No, I went to. Yes,
Casey's Diner.
Of course, man. Just took the kids there on Monday.
I love Casey's Diner.
Of course.
You kidding me?
No, it's nice.
Loring Arena.
Framingham, yeah. Best ice surface in Massachusetts, in my opinion.
It is.
It's great ice. Yeah, I got tomorrow night. I got the drunk lead tomorrow.
I donned the Supremes over there with Bobby Petorik and a bunch of boys from there a long time ago.
Yeah. There's some good hockey back there.
Yeah, we had some good hockey. I played Native Commons.
Yep.
There's a junior race stuff going on.
Nice. No, Forrester's been pretty good to me.
You have any Forrester in Natick?
No, not really. No.
They cut it all down and they put up the Natick Mall.
That's how we do it.
The mall. Yeah, the mall went up, cut everything down. And then you guys,
they ruined
the Sudbury River or something like that down there.
Well, I tell you, when I was growing up, I grew up in Natick, and I had my dream job, you know, Carling Brewery right there on.
Oh my God!
Right
like,
there yeah, the on the shores of Lake.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm gonna be
not right. Yeah. I bought a gift to go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my career took a different turn.
Jim DeCock.
I'm wondering if you knew anything about down there at Mount Washington State Park.
I do.
There's a lot of deer down there. I killed a bunch over there.
Yeah, Egremont.
I used to go there in New York. I wish I could go over there when I ran across that fast fish river.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's some good. It's not as good as it was back in probably the 70s and early 80s, but you can still. Oh my God!
You got Almond Mountain and that stuff in that park down there.
Get the Blue Hills right around the corner.
Yeah,
you're gonna be there now.
Yeah,
they're happy about you.
Yeah.
They're really.
They didn't take out enough.
They're gonna flatten your tires if you found a new place.
No.
All right,
fellas.
Where'd you go to school, Mike?
Thank you very much.
Where'd you go to school?
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Pretty good. I worked at a lot for 4 years.
Yeah.
How you doing, young man?
Good. I appreciate being called young.
You weren't. Right.
Young Joker.
I feel good. All right, thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Keep going.
All right. I feel a little beat up this place. This place got some serious history.
Oh, this place? Oh,
yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I actually just figured I'd take a poke and see what it was about, you know, meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you go back, a guy named Nixon had something
property. I've got pictures of there used to be stairs going down out there, and there's a lot of different stuff. They used to play the volleyball in here. Yeah. They used to put on
great
shows up here.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
Yeah.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
All right, well, thanks again, you guys. Appreciate it a bunch.
Thank you.
Get you off. Yeah,
can we get Jim to make some copies of this stuff for us?
I am learning more than I thought I would be
learning. See you there, fellas. Thank you again.
I'm learning more than I thought I would be learning here.
Well, you know, this is my first time here. I didn't know we were here.
we've been trying to get him here for a little while, and it's just been kind of
we've had so many other projects going on. With,
Well, Vic talked about it one of probably the second meeting you were here.
Yeah, that was
like
one of the first things he did.
We're on top of things.
We have one of those,
here.
So you might as well take
and
peek at it and keep on it.
Well,
I mean, we should be able to get more than, I'm sure there's more than one of those.
Yeah, and some of the other things, maybe we can get Jen to copy it. You want me to take it by and have her copy?
Yeah, if we can do something, if you want, if you know what you want copied and stuff, we'll see what we can do there.
And I think the application is going to have to come from you or Ted.
Now, there's no obligation behind the application either. It's just
Get your name in.
Yeah,
first
come, first serve. Yeah, I think probably one of the most important.
If you want, I'll bring that whole thing and see what I can do.
Okay.
Even if we don't do anything, I think having a professional forester come in and take a look at our property and give us an idea what's taking place in our property, what's going on out there. Is it, you know,
without wells, you have to have trees around them. I mean, if something came in and took out our forest, we'd be screwed. I mean, we'd have runoff, then all of a sudden, you know, water's not percolating in.
Right.
We're not regenerating.
Right.
And that's what we need to make sure doesn't happen. So whether it's drastic or not, I don't know.
It's one of the cheap items that we have to make sure that our water is
natural
good.
Filtration. Yeah.
Absolutely. So why do we don't want to, first of all, nobody planned on neglecting it, but the bottom line is, we really essentially have.
Well,
and, we need to move forward. And
you have a slow forest fire going on now with the exotics. You know, Wehrmacht's taking out the oaks.
Yeah.
And you get another good defoliation of those, and gypsy moth comes in, you'll lose the oaks.
You're going to sweep a new property over here?
Yeah, as long as nothing, you know, is being really, I mean, I don't know how what they're going to do up there, but they have to always keep in mind that it's nothing that can go into the ground, you know, to taint anything, so whether it's releasing or bringing a type of bird in that eats that.
Right.
You know, in the past, they've done something to that effect. They used to do that with the gypsy moth for a while.
Yeah, well, we've lost a lot of migrating species that would eat the winter moth, you know, because we don't have any food for them. There's no food there. You know, so
they'll be full for about 2 months a year.
Yeah, they'd be pretty full. Maybe we ought to bring in some grizzly bears.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, we did good there. Do we want to double back to the cellular proposal?
Yeah.
Do we need to make a motion to sign this proposal?
Do you have some questions at all or anything?
You're the only signature on that, I think.
Yeah, I think the only person that really needs,
I think moving forward is something that
somebody from the Prudential Committee and you.
I have no problem having Russell and GHD look at this. I mean, it's short money, you know, and
it's money that, as of right now, I have.
Okay.
It kind of puts me close to the end of the budget, but I also am in the hole right now about $20,000, getting reimbursed back to me for, we've been waiting for this USDA funding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, because we were waiting for that, there was no money available, and so I didn't hinder the project. I started paying Russ out of my budget instead of out of special appropriation. Now, that money's going to be taken out of the special appropriation. It might not be to the end of the year, so there might be a point where it looks like we're in the negative, but we're not out of legal and engineering, is what I'm saying. If you see that on the sheet, there's $20,000 there out that's right now that we paid to GHD for the planning of the tank. And for their services. I didn't want them to go unpaid.
No, that's good enough.
So, and Mike has guaranteed me that he said, well, you know, I can always reimburse you for that. And we're under the understanding he's going to reimburse me for that. And he's told us that.
Now, he's secured the funding for the tank, hasn't he?
Yes, he's got the, he's taking some other money in to pay the bills that we're getting now for the first payment that's coming in and everything. We're still... He has secured the money, but he's still waiting to see how quick the USDA is coming in, because the USDA is going to be the one that pays for it, and that's where the loan's going to come from. He has the okay to go to the bank and get it also, through notes and everything else, and has the okay to do it. He would rather do it the other way so that we can save the money, and that's what we're just holding off on. But he is paying. Nobody's getting held up getting paid.
I understand,
paid.
But as this goes on, they're going to want more and more money.
Oh, yeah.
So it has to happen sometime.
And we're keeping in contact through them. You know, I told them, you know, this $60,000 is going to be coming down. They're going to want more than that.
Yeah.
Tank's down. That's $60,000. Demolition first. Boom. Yeah. Done. Hmm. They're going to want that money.
Yeah.
So that bill is going to be coming, and he's anticipating it coming this month. Mm-hmm. So he's gone out to acquire the funds to move stuff over. Okay. And he told me he was doing this. I mean, that's his
that's
game.
His thing.
That's
yeah.
That, you know, that's not mine. That's his. I
so far,
how he pays it, how he gets
he's
there.
Done good with what his job is. So, I
so in other words, I do have the funds here. Russ is the one who's been doing it all along right now. I mean, it has the contacts, been talking to people. I just don't think we ought to bring somebody else that we're going to have to retrain. Because this is almost a time thing also.
Trust Russ.
Yeah. You're going to put the hours in for somebody new.
And he's familiar with everything. It's not like we have to
He knows what we
want to
do.
Speed.
Yeah.
So as far as this right here, I would support us going forward with this. And I actually kind of like the idea that he put forward about looking at whatever other possibilities are.
Okay.
Whether it's next to, behind, on top. Because that... Somewhere I remember in discussion about the new tank, the Santua tank, that is there the ability to have stuff, is it on or in the tank, without it having the damage that the other ways were done?
Right. There. Yeah. Right.
So there, that's all.
There is a
prime ready to go.
The only thing that would really be, it's all the cables run on the inside of the tank.
Yeah.
It's not outside, so you don't see them. They're on the inside. They're not going to be in the way of me. Coming in there.
The provisions were made prior to the tank, just like this tank, to this 6-inch conduit that runs up the side of that. It'll handle anybody that's wanting on the tank. And then there's going to be nobody going up on the tank drilling anything after the fact. It's all done. The mount is up there. Everything is done. Yeah. The walkway's up there.
Yeah.
And we even oversized the
barrel.
We are oversized the barrel
going
up to enable us to have, you know, people not struggle to go up this thing.
Yeah, not squeeze their way through.
Those are all things that we thought about.
The planning for this is in place, so
it
would make sense that he would be.
Yeah, and I think originally our thought was to have three people have it available for three. I think with the size of the cables they use now. It's not a problem for the three. It might be possibly four. You'd have to have somebody come in and see. Because the cables that used to be this big now, all of a sudden, are down half the size.
I would like to make sure that we were patient on the Santua tank. If we do, when we enter into agreement with Open Cape, we'll leave them alone to do their thing on the tank and let them be on their own. Let them get it right, you know. And not put anybody in there with them at the same time.
Right. No. We're building on
that tank, which...
I don't think Open Cape's going to take that long here. I think they're going to go in and out of there real fast. Once it's time, they have all the equipment. They're not waiting for anything. They've had it for two years.
That's right. So
you don't mind someone being in there. You just don't want in there to interfere with their process. Okay. Now
I want them to be...
Free to
on their own.
Their job and then get it done.
I want them to put our fiber optic in the ground, and I want them to put up their gear, and I want it to get done.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you guys feel the same way.
Yeah.
Once we turn these guys loose.
I've been driving crazy with this.
I know. So we're going to have, and it's going to happen. Yeah. So we're going to have cameras. We're going to have, we went down and looked at the one in Chatham. It's the same one we're going to work at. It's pretty cool, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
It's very, very nice. It's gonna be good. So back to Russell's and GHD. So you want to put a motion on the table for us to do that, Don?
I have an absolute. Yeah. Put a motion that we proceed with this proposal for the cell tower behind the new tank.
No, it's actually off of Main Street. It's where
Main Street,
the existing
Main Street tank.
It's the Main Street tank. It's where the existing cellular people are, and we'll. So that, Rick.
What's the motion? we
agree to proceed with the proposal for the cell tower.
And let Russell create the RFP.
It was presented tonight by Russell.
Proposal.
Yeah.
It's a request for proposal development to lease the land and erect a wireless communication facility. It's an agreement between Kootenai Fire District and the Water Department owner and GHD.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Print name?
You're good. Just let now. I think all you gotta do is just
print.
Above
me. Oh, yeah, I see. Gotcha. Yeah. You're pretty smart, Chris.
Graduate.
Call Judge McKeated. 219 today?
18. I'll take that. I think that's all we need.
Just one copy you need up there.
Okay.
Anybody from the Prudential Committee have to sign this or not?
Give them to...
Okay, I'm going to move on to the new business and take a look at that budget proposal. You take it the bulb is a change, Chris?
Yes. Yeah. As you see, everybody has a budget there.
Yeah.
I never really did go over water quality, did I?
Yeah, it's a lot of NDs on that thing.
Yeah, everything came back nice this month, guys.
Yeah, well.
And then we did finally get our MTV results back with no detects. Okay, Chris. All right, yeah, the bold there, some changes that we've had. We've left the... labor and salaries up there for discussion.
Just that, yeah.
As normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some things have stayed the same, as you can see. Grounds has actually gone down, but I am going to be seeing if I can get a price for painting over there. We've had some stuff replaced in the past, so I want to see if I can get some painting done there. Last time, I think it was around $6,000 to get the place painted. So if that's the case, by rights, I should probably get three different prices on it. So what I think I'll do is I'll wait till this coming spring and start a price.
We're talking about the building that houses everything?
At the apartment itself, yeah.
Okay.
We're talking the brick building around the windows. Mm-hmm. We're talking the back building, and we're talking the garage.
Okay.
You know, cleaning up the garage. Let's see, we've talked about that being under business repair. I'm sorry. Keeping it the same because of that. Let's see, water testing. We have some other tests that are more expensive than usual though, by DEP standards we have to do this year, so that's gone up. Grounds has gone down a little just for the plain fact that we're under the assumption that we're going to have to do something about dump. Right now we have a dump sticker. And it might be the last year we can get one with the town of Boston.
Why?
Because in the past, they have not given it to the Kootenai Fire District. Because they really won't give me an answer. You have to own a house in the town of Boston and be you cannot buy one as a business. And they haven't figured out a way around it. So since we've been going to the dump, I've been using my name, my address, and buying the two of them, putting them on the trucks, and not having one at my house, because I have a nice father who stops by and picks it up once a week on his way in. So, and I just only use mine for recycling, usually.
Yeah.
So I've never had a problem with it, but someday they were going to come down on me. And the last time I went in there and got the 18-month, they kind of told me that this might be the last time. So I still have to work out with the new superintendent over there how he wants to deal with it. It might end up being that we might get like one of those 9-gallon carry-along tubs.
So the town of Barnstable is not able to use its own dump? I'm just curious.
The Chewett Fire District is not allowed to use the town of Barnstable's dump.
Or West Barnstable?
Com is not allowed, supposedly, to use the dump. They have to use a service. The fire station has
Yeah,
they have a dumpster that comes. We used to pay half of that, but I said, why am I paying half a dumpster that so many, you know, $200 a month or whatever it was, when I can go get a sticker for $160 for the year? So that's what we started doing, and now they're finally saying no. So
are the other villages in the same boat as us?
Yeah, as far as I know. This is what when I went in there and I told the woman that I needed it for this, she goes, yeah, you're the only one that does it.
Is the council aware of that?
The town council?
Yeah, the town council.
I don't believe so.
Huh. Well, we are.
Talk to
it with them. I mean, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Doesn't make a logical sense.
Is that Jessica?
Yeah,
Jessica would be for Katuit.
Yeah.
I can approach her on it. I don't know if other towns have used it in the past.
I just don't get it. Doesn't make
sense. I'm amazed. I learned something tonight, too. How amazed I am. We can't use the dump. Tell them we'll shut their damn water off.
No drinking.
I don't know if anybody lives in Katuit.
So, War Ones lives in Katuit, tell them we're shutting their water off. Just kidding.
Well, I can, like I said, I can. I'll, once I get in touch with this guy, I'll figure out what he wants me to do. Because what I had said was, you know, we're part of the town of Boswell, maybe you can drop off a dumpster that we can keep on him. Carry on or something like that, and we'll put it out once a week. You know, when you're going by to pick
up
the loose.
We don't generate that much. It's not like it's a
right. That's what I mean. We go by there once every 2 weeks.
So you don't even generate as much as a house.
Right.
We dump waste once every 2 weeks.
Just about, yeah. In the summertime, it's a little more because we throw away the line bags because they're a danger to use again. So it takes an entire large garbage bag. Crush it up and put inside there. So we have those that we put in.
What's a dumpster going to cost us? A small 4-yard dumpster going to cost us?
I believe we looked at it. It's about, I think it's $50 a month, something to that, or $30-something dollars a month. But then we chance where we're going to put it. We have to put it behind something locked. If not,
people,
how quick is it going to fill up?
Yeah.
On an unmanned, occupied a building.
Yeah, you can lock them.
That's what I do.
You can lock them. They got pretty good locks.
I bring all my stuff to the dumpster.
But I'm okay.
Yeah.
Then maybe we look into that.
I'm trying to find the option.
I'll figure out what.
I got a burn barrel out back for the time being. I'll be all set.
I'll bring the marshmallows.
If you say it's a cook fire.
Right. It's okay.
It's a cook fire.
Yep. It's a bad tasting burger, so.
Oh my God.
And like I said, I'll work it out a little bit more and get back to you on it. I didn't mean to bring you down just before the end of the meeting.
No, it's not funny. It's not.
Yeah. Let's see, what else do we have there? Advertising. A lot of this is kind of, your postage has gone up because postage has gone up.
Yep.
We just actually renewed our pre-sort mail.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a washout with it, but it still keeps us from having to put stamps on each one.
Yeah.
We looked into getting a stamping machine and everything else. It's just too much money.
Yeah.
Let's see. Computers actually went down $1,000 because we had bought a computer last year, a new one, so that's actually down a little. Let's see. Gasoline we brought down. We've assumed an average right now. We are paying less than some right now, less than most, because we get it through the fire department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And we've always paid a little less than current out there, I would say. So So we've kind of tried to make a good guesstimate there, and hopefully we'll be all right. If we have to up it by the end of, you know, the next couple of months, if things don't look good, we will.
Oh, okay. Good. I was wondering about that. Might
right.
Want to pay attention to that. I hear that.
Okay. I mean, as you can see, there. I mean, we've only, here we are, we spent $3,430 out of there now. So, yeah. I mean, we were expecting prices to keep rising at that point.
Right.
We still have propylene to get for the backup generators and everything else also. So, we got that. Let's see. Chemicals. We put them up a little bit now because the price of lime goes up every year a little bit. And we're not sure what we're going to have to, if we do go with a, if we do have to do it, we'll go with a company that will come up and fill tanks for bleach. It's going to be probably at a Osmo County bid price. I think they did do a chemical bid last year. By law, I should be going out to bid every year at that point for chemicals if I'm getting a bulk rate. So we'll have to investigate into that a little more. So that's gone up a little bit. Let's see. Electricity. That's gone down because we're locked in right now at a price through Electric Light Compact. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't assume anything from the solar project yet.
Yeah.
So, because we don't know what's going to happen with that. The consumption assessment has gone up, but that is, we already know what that's going to cost us. That's based on 2 years ago. So we have to pay that anyways. We know they've given us the rates, so that's what it's going to be. That's why if we pump more water that year, we have to pay more.
Yeah.
Other than that, if you guys see anything there that attracts your eye, like that should be up, should be down, let us know.
We can mill over that. In general, it looks to be down, anyways. Man, won't it be nice to have some changes with that solar?
Oh, yeah.
Knock out about $40,000 or something stupid like that.
More than that.
I hope so, but, you know. Okay. You guys, how you guys doing?
I'm getting tired, but I'm doing fine.
I'm good.
It's almost past your bedtime, Vic.
I know it is.
Got 10 minutes.
Yeah. Just 10 minutes to go.
10 minutes to be sleeping.
Just to give everybody a little, just before you say anything, I don't know if you guys are going to, you know, you're probably all going to sit down with your salaries and everything else. I have no complaints about anybody. I think everybody's done a good job. I'd like to see the newer guys get their licenses. They know they have to. I'd like to see them. We have to carry that offer also still right now with the dollar an hour raise if they get the license. That's in there now. I believe that they're supposed to be going before the end of the year. So we'll have to think about that, you know, figure-wise afterwards and everything.
They've got to go to the classes, Chris, to do the licensing.
Yeah, they've already both been to classes. It's a grade one, so they don't have to actually go to a class. It's just your two. They have to get their one to go for their two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you go for the two, you have to attend a class.
Oh, I see. You can go for the two first. You can just go for the two, can't you? No
you
more.
Have to go now. You have to go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Really?
Yeah. And I only asked them to get a one. That's all they need for their job, and 1T, 1D. If it was me, I would have gone within a month of when I started.
Yeah, right.
But they, you know, it's just, I got one guy's been there a year now, and he's still, I'm going to do that.
Oh,
yeah. The other guy's been there 6 months, and he's like, no problem, it's going to happen. One of the guys already taken a 6-week course. He took it, he said 6 months, it was done.
Hmm.
Why you wouldn't have took it after that? I don't know, but I still think they're very good together. They work great together. It's not like it used to be. They work wonderful together. They listen to Brian. They have no problems with Brian. Jen does a tremendous job.
Yeah, she's great.
Did I say tremendous? I meant...
She's not listening, is she?
No, she's not listening.
Jen's going to listen to this. So.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give you my opinion on everybody. That's my report of everybody.
Good. All right. Good to hear.
Jen used to put little candy things in the plastic bag.
Ah, you're begging.
She just bought a new batch.
You're
of
begging now.
No, I'm not begging. I said, this is... I have to make a special trip after hours. It's dark out, I'm afraid.
No, there's nothing in the packet here either.
All right, fellas.
Real quick question. Did anybody contact the Civic Association about them finding some money for painting the big C on the tank?
No, I haven't talked to the Civic. I did ask Russ how much it was going to cost. I asked him to get some pricing on it.
Was it the Civic Association or was it the
I think it was the Athletic Association. Well,
to it.
It was a gentleman from the Athletic Association who wrote
the petition.
Yeah. We'd like to get that. There's some stuff that we wrote out to get the. I think there was like $59,000 worth of stuff that we took out of the contract to be able to accept.
Get the contract.
We're going to have to. That's one of the first things we should probably put back into the contract, I think, if the USDA funding comes or when it comes.
The fencing?
The fencing has to be there by law. You have to have that. We were just going to think of another way to do it.
Yeah. There may be money out there, you know, and we should probably give them the opportunity to say, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If there's extra money there, that's why I told them to get the price.
Well,
we
not
have
just
a petition to do it.
I'm talking about, you know, with this land purchase, I think they had an overreach.
Really?
Yeah, for the ball field. And, you know,
That was through...
I really would like to. I would think that the writing or the gratuit on the tank would be spectacular. But I'm concerned that we've already said no to another group. It concerns me. Yeah, it's okay. I mean, we didn't discuss it. You know, it's just.
I'm not really concerned about saying
the
no
priority
to the gentleman because we didn't have the money.
We didn't have the money before.
We don't,
right.
Did not.
It
probably it's that's right. And
it didn't have it on the previous. Yeah, there was nothing previous that was there.
In my head, I'm not saying. I'm saying to you that it just bothers me that we couldn't get the other one done, and there were parameters on the other one, not in terms of the paint or the make it take it off, and there was a lot to be done in that situation.
It wasn't
and I feel bad that both of them can't have it, and I'm in favor of the other one being painted, this one being painted. It bothers me that the other one couldn't have been done, too.
Yeah, if I was a smarter man, I would have auctioned off to see if they took off and cut it up.
Yeah.
Because I had, like, two people that offered. Oh, hey, can I have one of them letters?
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, absolutely. If I was a smarter man, I would have got, you know, pickers there.
Call.
You
could have
put that on eBay.
The pickers, they would have come right down.
Yeah.
Frank and Mike.
Yeah.
Adam Frank and Mike would have come right to your house for that. American Pickers.
Can't win them all.
No.
You should have seen it. I got a picture.
Chris, it's really a sad life if you and I know we're sitting there watching American Pickers.
Well, if you want me to talk to somebody on the Civic Association.
Well, once again, I don't know if it was the Civic Association.
I think it was
the Civic Association. It's the Gatuit Athletic Association.
Yeah.
That's who presented the to us.
They'd probably both have an interest, I would think. But I'll go to the Athletic Association.
I'd start with their...
Yeah.
It is part of Gatuit getting put in the...
Dang it, you lost it.
I didn't think about that, Chris.
Could have built a house out of that.
Yeah.
Put it on your walls.
That was in the first, like the first little phase of it, because they cut the top off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I left it at like 5:30 that night. And that was what was the picture I took, like 10-15 minutes before I left. With it going down, with all the sparks flying down, it just started turning dark.
Wow.
And they got down another rung.
Well, it was dark when I was there the next morning.
Yeah, and they were
one
left.
They were.
Two left.
They were.
Yeah.
Wow, And then they were up at crack of dawn doing. They slept there.
Yeah, no, that's
they
pretty
did,
wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a freight liner and a trailer. The trailer had bunk beds in it, and the freight liner had a sleeper cap.
Yeah.
Three, four of the guys slept in the bunk beds, and two guys slept in the freight cap. I don't know what was going on with the guys in the freight liner with the sleeper cap.
Not right.
I think it's time to stop the meeting here. Adjourn.
So besides wanting to do what we're going to do with this right here, the salaries, is there any capital expenses we're looking at this year?
With
all the stuff we got going on?
We have to put a consideration in for the safety measures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, that's really the only thing. I have money left over from last year on two different projects that I can use up. I can try, like I said, I can try to wrap up a little bit more into Station 1. We can address that at another time if we have to. Mm-hmm.
The safety measures, unfortunately, we can put it before the community, but it's not optional to vote no.
Correct.
There is
we're
no voting no on this.
Right.
In the Department
and
of Violent
and
Protection.
If we need...
It's not how... I don't know if this is the proper way to get to tell them.
Right.
We're going to put it in an article. It's not... You understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
This is not... You can't... This is going to be no discussion. If you want to discuss it, we're going to the DEP.
We're good right now with vehicles. Yeah. I could ask them to put Station 1 in with that and go from there.
Yeah. I mean, I understand with this...
And if everything works out right, you know, hopefully I'll be able to turn the money back from the Santua tank at this point. After this year, I was holding it out because I didn't know what happened was going on with Open Cape.
Yeah.
So I have prices now to put a generator down there, but part of the agreement with Open Cape was going to be that we hook up into their generator. And I want to make sure that's still in on the contract also. If that's still the case, that we can hook up and they'll run our little section. At the same time, if we lose power, it's automatic, boom, the same generator that runs their stuff will run our stuff, then we're good. And that was the original.
Hopefully everybody will understand that on April 1st, these laws are going to, these requirements are going to change. And those things that we had to publish before are no longer an issue. They've I guess you could call it downgraded what... at one point we had to put in as advertising and potentially say there's a boil order.
Yeah.
I mean, those things.
And correct me
if
I'm wrong.
The only boil order will come now is if there's a fecal.
Right. I mean, there's never a boil order. We'd have to tell people that there was a coliform hit, if there was a coliform hit, and saying you have the potential, if you have a lower immune system, you might want to contact your doctor and ask him if this could hurt you.
Well, we had
to do
that.
The doctor's going to go, I don't know, what kind of, is it good quality or bad quality? I don't know.
Yeah.
But by law, you have to put it out according to TV. Now they're just finally saying what we've been saying to them for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, there's no reason for that.
Yeah.
And you make us put it out a month after it's happened, for one thing.
Right.
So
and there isn't any danger, which is even more important.
Right.
But how are you going to communicate that to,
you won't be communicating to the public. You'll only be reporting to DEP and saying, we've had this, and they say, okay, is it clean? Yep, okay, thank you, boom, check.
Can we put that on our website, though, explaining that? Because someone's going to ask. Someone's going to say,
most people won't even know about it, though.
You're right. Most
it's just like when they made things parts per trillion instead of parts per billion. Nobody knew. That's why all of a sudden we happen to put this down that this is happening because they're looking under a better magnifying glass and finding something and putting it in a super solution. Like, yep, you've got a problem.
I agree with
you. But there's going to be no panic in the neighborhood anymore, and that's because there shouldn't have been any panic to begin with.
Right.
No.
Now, are we going to meet with Prudential for next month to bring something forward is what their schedule is?
I believe we're supposed to have something. Is it the April meeting?
I don't know.
Or I'll ready for them by
I'm
the April
go,
meeting.
I'm going to go over Monday night, so I'll ask.
Yeah, so it's probably find out for sure then. If it is the March now, be aware also that Jen will be on
Monday night
Chicago or someplace, some tropical land for like 10 days come March. So Jen's going to be gone. Oh, Jen's going on a cruise.
Save me a cheating chair.
A well-deserved vacation.
Save me a chair.
Hopefully not South America, Brazil, or anything.
No, no, no. She's not pregnant. So if she goes there, she'll just get a slight cold.
Yes.
Okay, fellas, you did good. Everybody did good tonight. All right?
I move to adjourn.
We have a meeting already planned for March 17th.
Yeah. March 17th.
We do.
I cut my vacation short to be back for that night.
Yep.
How's that sound?
March 17th is the next meeting.
March 17th is a... St.
Patrick's Day.
Right. Is it what?
St. Patrick's
Day. St. Patrick's Day.
So I'm gone March 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, I think. I'm in California.
I'm leaving Florida that morning.
Oh, yeah.
To come back.
Okay. I did one of those. Did I make that meeting?
Yeah.
I traveled that day. I made that meeting.
You came back that night. Yeah. You almost came straight here.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I guess all we need is a motion.
Motion to adjourn. Whoa. You guys got that down.
Hey, Dave. Yeah.
Hi.
I'm tired.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you.